This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Tass.
So, Makaram, some very interesting new research has just revealed that almost half of all workers strongly support their workplace taking action on increasing diversity and inclusion. That's extraordinary, isn't it? That's actually a shift. It's nowhere near enough, but it is actually a shift.
Because it probably wasn't that long ago, you know, it was in the minority.
That's right. Anyway, to chat to us about all of that, we've got Lisa Anise on the phone. Lisa's the Chief Executive of the Diversity Council of Australia. Good morning to you, Lisa.
Good morning.
Great to have you on the airwaves this morning.
Yes, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Now, just very quickly, who is the Diversity Council of Australia?
We are an independent organisation. We're membership-based. You know, we're membership-based. We have over 600 corporate members, and we work to produce resources and develop guidelines and run events for our members, and the aim is to help them improve their capability in diversity and inclusion across a whole range of diversity dimensions that exist in workplaces. So gender equity, inclusion of people with disabilities, LGBTIQ+, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander identity, age diversity, religious diversity. So we basically provide evidence that helps employers get better at doing this, because we know inclusion is really good for workplaces.
So, Lisa, I referred to some of the research that you've just recently conducted, where you found that almost half of all workers strongly support workplaces taking greater action on diversity and inclusion. Is that good enough? Is half the workforce good enough?
Well, that statistic is interesting, because that's the number of people who strongly support organisations taking action in diversity and inclusion. But if you include also who just supports, we're in a massive majority. In fact, there are only 3% of workers, and this is across a massive labour market study that we did, that were vehemently opposed to action on diversity and inclusion. So if you think...
So in other words, 97% of the workforce either believe strongly or very strongly or fully support that workplaces take greater action.
There is about 20% that are in the neutral group, but the majority are in the support group, and a tiny minority are absolutely willfully opposed to it. And that's pretty amazing if you think of the conversations that happen in the media and at a public level. You would imagine, it sounds like, there's more opposition to this, but actually there's not. Most people are on board with this, and most organisations, especially large organisations, are definitely on board with this.
Lisa, I also, just in reading your media release on this, I noted that men's attitudes differed a bit from women's attitudes. Can you give us some more insights into that, please?
So there's obviously more support for diversity and inclusion from groups that are affected more negatively by the status quo. And the status quo, you know, we have workplaces that were constructed in an industrial era with without thought or consequence to people who were diverse from the straight, white, able-bodied, cisgendered male. And so you tend to find that groups that fall out of that are more likely to support, and certainly that's the case, even though we are seeing an increase in men now in support who do now support D&I in workplaces, but the support is still stronger amongst women and other groups.
Are you surprised by those?
No, I'm not surprised, because I think if you look at women are a minority group, and so most women have experience of either harassment and discrimination in the workplace setting, or they're, you know, they're wearing the brunt of the pay gap, or they're trying to manage work and family, and they're the primary carers, even if they're in a straight heterosexual relationship. And they're working full time, they're still more likely to do most of the housework and most of the childcare. So a lot of women do feel the weight of the inequity around how work, both paid work and unpaid work, is distributed. So no, that definitely doesn't surprise me. But it's good to see now that more and more men are now starting to recognise that actually this inequity also hurts them, and they can now see themselves benefiting from things like, for example, flexible work or shared care parental leave, or working in an environment that's free from bullying and harassment. So that's a positive trend that we're seeing, and we hope that that continues.
And if you've just tuned in and you're listening to our Saturday magazine this morning, we are chatting with Lisa Anise from the Diversity Council Australia, who's talking about some of the insights from some recent research that they've conducted into what they call their Diversity and Inclusion Index. Lisa, just one final question before we have to wrap up shortly. Where to next? What are you going to do with this research, other than talking to good people like ourselves? What are the next steps, and what do you hope to achieve in the new year?
Well, this is the second time we run the Inclusion at Work Index, and what we're hoping to achieve is trend data over time, but also many, many of our members are actually opting in to run their own inclusion indexes at work, and then they compare them to the national average, and actually motivates them to work harder in areas where they're not doing as well. So we hope to grow that pool of really good-willed and good-intentioned employers who want to create inclusive work environments. And we also want to ensure we keep an eye on just how inclusive Australian workplaces are happening, especially when we have some exclusionary things looming on the horizon that might cause problems for employers and other service providers, like the Religious Freedom Draft Exposure Legislation. We need to keep a measure on the pulse to see how that's actually affecting diverse groups within organisations.
Lisa, thank you very much for your time this morning. Best wishes with the work that you're doing. We will keep an eye on this, and we'd love to have you back in the studio sometime next year. Yeah. To share more of your insights. And in particular, we're interested in the trends, given that this has been a study that you've done a couple of occasions. It'd be interesting to see what some of the trends and changes might be. All the best to you for the new year and for the season. Yep. And we look forward to chatting with you again.
Thank you. And also my best wishes to all of your viewers, or listeners, I should say.
Thanks. Thank you very much. We don't have viewers yet.
Okay.
Thanks.
Radio. Bye.
Bye.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.